Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. We've heard a lot in the news over the last few years about refugees, and in some cases, a growing hostility to taking in more people fleeing their home countries. But here at the University of New Mexico, there's a program specifically designed to welcome refugees and help them adjust to their new lives in the U.S. The Refugee Well-Being Project matches students who take a two-semester class with newly arrived refugees. Together, they set goals and learn from one another. The project was founded by Associate Professor Jessica Goodkind. She's in the Department of Sociology. Jessica, explain what the Refugee Well-Being Project is.
The Refugee Well-Being Project is a project that brings together UNM students and newly resettled refugee families to learn from each other and to work together for 6 months to address the stressors that refugees face during resettlement, and in that way help reduce the distress that refugees face and improve their well-being and integration into life here in the United States.
And why did you start this through your role at the University of New Mexico? How did this come about?
Well, I started this project actually because I worked in a refugee camp in Thailand many years ago, and I was working with refugees who were coming to the United States to resettle. And when I returned to this country, I visited a lot of families, and I saw the stressors that they faced, even after overcoming a lot of adversity and trauma from the war-torn countries where they were often leaving. They also faced a lot of stressors here. And I realized that in order to best help refugees address those stressors, it's important to also value the knowledge, the experience, the cultures that they bring here, and create a welcoming space and welcoming communities where Americans can also learn from refugees and also work together to improve their communities.
So explain a little bit more exactly how it works and how you're integrating the university and students into those.
Well, it's actually a really great opportunity for students as well, because they take a two-semester class with me, so they earn course credit, and for the first 2.5 months, they're in the classroom learning about refugees and the refugee experience and a lot of different skills and knowledge that will help them to be effective advocates for refugee families. And then in the beginning of November each year, the students and refugee families are brought together in learning circles, and they meet together each week for 2 hours in the evening to have cultural exchange time where they discuss different aspects of life in the United States and in the countries where the refugees are coming from. And they also do one-on-one learning where refugees have the chance to practice English or fill out job applications or other things that they might need help with. And then the students also spend an additional at least 4 to 6 hours per week outside of the learning circles with the refugee family that they're partnered with. And during that time, they do fun things around Albuquerque together, share meals, get to know each other, but the majority of the focus is on addressing the goals and unmet needs of the refugee family and mobilizing resources in the community to meet those needs.
Talk about the refugees that you're serving. Where are they coming from? What are some of the challenges they're facing?
So we work with refugees from several parts of the world, from the Great Lakes region of Africa, which includes the Democratic Republic of Congo, Burundi, and Rwanda, refugees from Afghanistan, and refugees from Iraq and Syria. And really, newcomers here face a lot of challenges. As I mentioned, they're usually coming from places where they've experienced a lot of war and violence. So they're healing from that, often having to leave behind their homes, family members, and friends, and come to a new place. And then they're facing challenges here in often learning a new language, in negotiating how the job skills that they have may translate here to work in the United States, finding homes, getting their kids in school, and helping their kids succeed in school, often facing racism and discrimination from people that may not understand who they are or why they're here in the United States.
And what kind of impact are you seeing on the students who are working with them?
I have seen a huge impact on students. For many students, they don't know why there are refugees coming from many parts of the world. So not only do they learn a great deal about situations around the world and why there are refugees from their situations, but then they have the opportunity to work directly with the family. And there is really nothing that compares to having that experience of working with a family, spending time together, seeing how they are facing those challenges of adjustment, and working with them as they go to healthcare appointments and and social service appointments and seeing how challenging it can be to negotiating the systems that we have here in the United States and being able to help the families they work with as well. So for many students, I think it's a life-changing experience that has an impact on what they decide to do for their career, and they often form relationships with the refugee partners that they work with that are ongoing much longer after the class ends.
And what have you seen in terms of how this has helped refugees settle here?
So we've actually been studying the project over the past 10 or 11 years that we've been implementing it, and we know that it has really positive impacts on refugees, including reducing their psychological distress, improving their English proficiency and social support. And a lot of it is also just building trust with Americans and making refugees feel welcome and safe here, and that then improves their mental health and enables them to better pursue the other goals that they have.
How is it supported?
Well, right now it's supported by a grant from the National Institutes of Health. Before that, we have had small funding from different local foundations, and we're always looking at how to make the project sustainable and looking for how to make it more a part of the resettlement services that our city and our state offer to refugees.
Now, it's housed at the university. Has the university been pretty supportive of this?
Well, one of the great ways that UNM supports us is that I teach the two-semester class as part of my teaching load. I'm a professor in the Department of Sociology, so all of my time that I use to teach the course is paid for by the university. So that's a great benefit. And then all of the, at least 6 to 8 hours per week that each student spends with a refugee family, the students are earning course credit for that time, but they're not paid. So there really are a lot of university resources that are going to support the project. The other kinds of financial resources that we need that we have to look elsewhere for are to pay for interpreters during the learning circle so that all of the refugees and students can understand each other and communicate, and to pay our coordinator for the project.
And speaking of your coordinator, he's right here, Brandon Baca. Nice to meet you, Brandon. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So tell me how you got involved in the Refugee Wellbeing Project.
I was a student in the project back in 2007 when I was an undergraduate student in psychology here.
And why did you want to get involved with it?
I had been interested in working in the area of social justice for a while, and I was studying psychology and kind of wondering what to do with that. And so when I saw in the course catalog that there was this class called, at the time it was called Refugee Health and Development, now it's called Health and Social Inequalities, it just struck me as really interesting and thought I'd give it a shot. After the training, I was matched with a refugee family from Burundi, and I was matched up with primarily with a young man in that family and also a young man in another family from Burundi. So we worked together on a lot of different things, from finding jobs to taking care of some medical issues that the family was having, and also just random things coming up, like there was an eviction notice too at one point in time where we had to take care of those things. But we also had a great deal of time to have fun together. We went to Santa Fe. We went bowling.
How was that?
Oh, it was great. It was a little bit confusing for the younger kids for a moment, but it all panned out. We had a great time, and it was just a great experience to be able to show people around. I love Albuquerque. I'm from here, so I kind of feel a little bit of an obligation to kind of show people around. I started to learn Swahili and learn about their culture, and that was a really, really great experience. And it inspired me to do Peace Corps, so that's what I did right after I graduated. And they sent me to Rwanda, which borders Burundi and speaks the same language and shares the same demographics and things like that. So it was a really life-changing experience for me.
So you did Peace Corps, and then you came back here, and you're working for the project now.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. As the research coordinator, there's a lot of different coordination in different areas, from the research side of things in terms of interviewing families and students, but also I co-teach the course with Jessica, so I help out in the classroom and training the students. And then when things transition to students attending learning circles, where we bring the families and the students together to have cultural sharing and one-on-one study time, I coordinate those sessions. And then I like to go and visit with the families too and see how things are going.
Well, we have a current student, Olivia Martinez. Talk about what she did during your pairing.
So there's a lot of things we did, just like from basic things like going to appointments and stuff like that. Or, for example, my other partner, her daughter needed surgery, So, you know, we went through that whole process, or practicing English, or just like fun things we would do too, like parties and dinner. Like, there's so I both the families I worked with were from Afghanistan, and so they they had a lot of parties, stuff like that, a lot of stuff going over mail, you know, making phone calls and leaving messages if somebody's phone got shut off, you know, taking people to the store. It was just like basically help with like everyday things that to us, you know, in a place we're like super comfortable in, it seems like super easy.
What did you learn about Afghanistan or about refugees?
Yeah, I learned a ton of things. So it was like one thing that I really want to emphasize about this class is that it's not like I'm doing something for somebody, or like, because I think with that you kind of can get like a savior complex. But in this class, the way it's structured, it's like you're helping each other. My partners taught me so much, you know, about their culture, or just about, you know, everyday life here in the U.S. and about policies. Like, the class taught me about policy, and then I got to really like see that in practice with my partners.
Did you learn more things about your own country just by seeing it through that lens?
Yeah, and it really made me, I guess, like think about my country a lot more, you know what I mean? And I guess think about my role in this country and stuff like that, and just how things in this country affect everyone. And then, like, the stuff about Afghanistan that I learned, words and cooking and family things and just tons of things. I can't even describe how much I've learned, and I'm continuing to learn, you know, all the time. I had, like, said at the end of the year is like the most important thing that I did my whole college career.
This is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. We just heard from UNM student Olivia Martinez. She was part of the Refugee Well-Being Project. Students like Olivia take a course over 2 semesters, and they're matched with recently arrived refugee families to help them with an array of things, from learning English to arranging doctor's appointments, getting their driver's licenses, even helping them communicate with their children's schools. One of Olivia's match partners was Nazanin Shafi. She and her husband are from Afghanistan.
My country is not good. Afghanistan has not a good government. Afghanistan has not security, not has rule. Everything is not good in my country.
What is it like coming to a new community, a new country?
Very difficult, because language is very important. If we go to every place, go to store, for example, go to a store, and go to with a friend, so language is very important. I can do everything, but I have problem about my language, so I can't do everything. Yeah.
How did Olivia help you?
I am very happy that Olivia helped me. My English is good. I find job, and Olivia and help me for interview, for drive, for everything. I am very happy from Olivia, and that I mean, yeah.
Where are you working?
I work in La Pubertà Baby Care.
Like a daycare?
Daycare, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you think that you would like people to know that they might not understand about refugees or people coming to America?
I want American people help us that we make a good life for us. Yeah.
So you just need a little bit of help and you can make a good life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talk about some of the things you guys did.
We filled out so many job applications because when we first met, she was really, really wanting to get a job. And so we'd meet like every Sunday and we would fill out application after application after application. So that was one thing. She was having medical bills because they didn't qualify for insurance and she had an appendicitis. And so there was a really big medical bill that needed to be worked out, you know, before it was sent to debt collector or wherever. And I do also want to note that we had another person who helped, and her name was Yi Song. She also helped Nasanin a lot with kind of getting things like back in order, like her license. She had tried to take the test to get the learner's permit, but her husband had helped her with interpretation, and they did not know that they couldn't do that. So we kind of tried to like sort that out, just like things like that. Or, but also another important thing was social things. You know, you can't really connect with people if you don't know the language in the same way. You can, you know, but it's harder for some people. And so, you know, we did a lot of things like just like hang out and talk and make dinner. And she's a great cook. So,
Jessica, this idea that was that built into sort of the DNA of your program? This is going to be a partnership.
Yes, that is really the fundamental basis of the project, is this idea of mutual learning and working together. Because one thing that I heard from so many refugees and I saw for myself is that refugees often come here and people feel sorry for them or they want to help them, but they look at them as like, there's something different about you because you're a refugee, or there's something wrong with you, or you're not, maybe you're not as intelligent, or you aren't as self-sufficient. When really refugees, any of us could be a refugee. It's really a matter of circumstance. And what was really important to me about the Refugee Wellbeing Project was that it was very different. It wasn't set up to be, we're going to help you. It's really about a partnership. And one of the things that the students really learn, and Olivia can talk more about this if she wants, is that the goals are really the goals that the refugee participants have. So they're not what the students think the refugees should do or need to do in the United States, or what Brandon or I thinks they should do. It's really what are the goals and priorities of the refugee participants. And then they work together on those goals. And they really learn from each other. And I think most of our students are many different ages, from sort of traditional college age students to older adults. We often have people who have served in the U.S. military who become students in our program, who are returning to get their undergraduate degrees. For all of the students, they're at different times in their lives where they have a lot to learn also about growing up, getting jobs, negotiating the healthcare system, thinking about their priorities, thinking about family and what that means to them. And they get opportunities to learn those things from many different perspectives and to think through for themselves what values are the most important to them.
That's interesting, Brandon, when you're working with students. Is it hard for some students?
Yeah, I think it can be tough. I think that through a lot of the ways that we learn about refugees, we're sort of taught to victimize them and not see them as just regular people with flaws and strengths and resilience like anybody else. So I think it's hard to shed those things for anybody because they're just so ingrained and all around us. We just kind of pick it up so internally or viscerally. But I think the students do an excellent job. I'm definitely very proud of a lot of the students that have come through the program and really adapt this sort of approach, not just for the class, but really adapt it as a way to live their life and a way to view their life in a different way too. Because, you know, like Jessica was saying, like anybody can be a refugee at any point in time. And it's hard to imagine yourself in that position. But I think as a student going through the class, you have a bigger picture.
Nasanin, can I ask you, when you're working with Olivia, like what were your goals?
For me, driving lessons is very important. Language is very important. And find job for me is very important. But I find job for me. I find driving lessons for me. And I try that my language is better.
What did you work when you were in Afghanistan? Did you have a job?
Or? Yeah, I teach for children.
And your husband, what did he do, or what does he do now?
He work in restaurant.
In a restaurant?
Yeah.
And what did he do in Afghanistan?
Journalist, but he work in. Human rights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he would.
He is like a journalist.
Yeah. My husband is in Afghanistan, very good person, and yeah, you know, a good job. And here now he worked at a restaurant. That's okay.
So that's what he's doing now, but he probably has hopes for to do something different.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Olivia, when you were starting this process, what was that like helping them set goals?
Actually, both my partners were really good about telling me what they wanted to do. It's almost like everything kind of came through. It's just like week after week, they had already known what they wanted to do.
If you just tuned in, this is University Showcase on KUNM, and I'm Megan Kamerick. We're talking about the Refugee Well-Being Project at the University of New Mexico. Students take a course over two semesters, and they're matched with newly arrived refugee families. Together, they help the families set goals and cope with the many challenges of creating a new life in a foreign country far from home. That can include helping them with job applications, figuring out medical bills, and navigating the process of getting a driver's license. The program was founded by Associate Professor Jessica Goodkind. She's in the Department of Sociology. Jessica, what do you see for the future for the Refugee Well-Being Project?
One of the goals has always been to make sure this is a project that is sustained here, that we keep having it every year, because every year there are more and more refugee families coming to the United States and to New Mexico. And many of the families in the project, they ask if they can repeat the project a second year. But we can't because we have so many new families coming. So one of my goals is to make sure that we're able to keep the project running and that it does become part of the services really that refugees can expect and the opportunities, and that students have that opportunity as well. Because I know we've talked a lot about the impact on students, but also I think there is a growing emphasis on community engaged learning and the impact that that has on students. And I think that to have opportunities at UNM where students can learn in the classroom and directly apply that learning, but can do it in a very structured and supportive way so that they really have meaningful learning experiences and they also have a meaningful positive impact on the community, that they're not just a burden to the community out there trying to learn things and create change, but they really are achieving important things. So those are my goals for the project, and I think I really want to see the project. For many years, we've been doing research and documenting the positive impacts of the project. I think we don't need to do a lot of research anymore. We know what those positive impacts are, and we want to keep the project running and transition a lot of the leadership. We're kind of in the process of transitioning that to Brandon and to some of our interpreters and participants who themselves came here as refugees and participated in the project and now work for the project are really in the best position to help run it and make sure that it runs smoothly and that we really are understanding the goals and the needs of the new families that come here. What I would love to see are ways that former students and refugee participants can sustain aspects of it that they like on their own. And I think we've seen that in many ways. Some former students and refugee participants have started an organization called United Voices for Refugee Rights that focuses on policy issues, both at the local level, but also state and national level. And Brandon is involved in the leadership of that organization, but also many other former students and refugee participants. And I think there are many things that have grown out of this work. I think probably we'll never have the capacity to have families repeat another year just because we always have new families. And we want to make sure that we can reach as many new families as we can to really help them feel welcome and safe here and provide that connection to Americans.
How many families can you serve each year?
It depends on the size of the families and how many students we have. Our goal is always to enroll between 25 and 30 students in the course. And usually that means that we can take at least 20 families, but depending on the size of the family, it may be a few more, a few less, because often we have really big families. If we have two parents and seven kids, then we'll probably assign two students to work with that family just to make sure that they can address the goals and needs of the parents and the kids at all their various schools. We didn't talk a lot about that, but for our students who work with kids, they really spend a lot of time interacting in the school system. They will go and meet with the teachers of their refugee partners and really try to help provide that bridge so that they can understand how best to help support the students, to help them in the subjects that they're struggling in, or connect them with other tutoring resources, to be a connection between the teachers and the parents to communicate if there are any challenges or concerns that the teachers have or that the parents have. So we really want to make sure that we can provide the support to everybody in the family.
And can I add just a little piece to that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing that is important about this sort of model too is that I think oftentimes when we think of refugees being resettled here, we think of it as one direction that refugees have to adapt to the current environment. But also I think, you know, the way we look at it is it's really bi-directional, where it's not only refugees that have to adapt, but our systems have to adapt and other people. So as we have more students who are aware of refugees and their situations and the paperwork they come with, it's creating a more welcoming community at the same time, where people at the MVD now understand, you know, what refugees go through and what sorts of documents they need. Same with teachers or other service providers. So I think that's one important aspect of doing this work, is really recognizing that it's really all of us that need to be welcoming. Yeah.
I didn't ask you, Nasanin, do you have children?
Yeah, one son.
And did you, Olivia, did you work helping him in school?
He's younger. He's only 2.5, so not so much. But with my other partner, she has 3 kids. And one of her children is in elementary school, and then the other 2 were in daycare. And I worked with both of those, the school and the daycare, you know, and I even... going off what Brandon said about, you know, that the system needs to adapt too, you know, the daycare, we had problems with the daycare for not really understanding, you know, cultural differences or grouping together all the refugees and stuff like that. And
so, like, putting them in one.
Like where they didn't know their names, but they identified them by how they looked, you know, or they didn't know whose kids were whose, but they knew that, oh, these kids belong to those women because, you know, they're Muslim or something like that.
Hmm. You got a real education on all aspects of how the city works. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Nasanin, do you have anything else that you wanted to say that I didn't ask?
Yes, I'm very happy that this project helped me, especially Olivia. I hope Olivia be with me and together work for something. If we need, I hope all of you help me. Yeah, I'm very happy.
Well, thank you all for coming and talking about this today. I really appreciate it. This has been University Showcase. Thanks to my guests from the Refugee Wellbeing Project, Associate Professor Jessica Goodkind, Program Coordinator Brandon Baca, Student Participant Olivia Martinez, and Nasanin Shafi, who came to Albuquerque a year ago from Afghanistan with her husband and child. You can find more about the project and see all our past episodes at KUNM.org. I'm Megan Kamrick, and thank you for listening to University Showcase on KUNM.